We'll be talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When I was asked to lead this, it was in the context of this illustration. Are you all familiar with this? You know what this is? This was the wheel illustration. It was developed by Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators. I have found this to be one of the most practical tools in explaining to people the relationship that we have to God through Jesus Christ. Today, basically, what we're going to be emphasizing is the hub of the wheel, which is Christ the center. And some of you, I'm going to call on you to quote some verses for me so that you can help me with this. And we're going to be looking at the hub and in relationship to that, the rim, the obedient Christian in action. With any wheel, and I know a lot of this is very basic for a lot of you maybe, but it's good to go over it again. But with any wheel, the power from that wheel comes from the hub. This hub can turn a little, but the circumference, the part, the rim out here turns a lot. And that's us as we're out here in the world, wherever God has placed us, that we're responding to the work of the Lord Jesus in our lives, and here we are out here doing His work in the world. So it's a very practical illustration, and for those of you that are not familiar with it, the foundation spoke here is the Word. And we're not going to be getting into these spokes today that much. We'll be talking about, again, the hub and the rim more than anything. But we're looking at the Word is the foundation spoke. You have this vertical relationship. You have prayer. That's our relationship with God. He speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him and relate to Him through prayer. And in the horizontal relationship, that's our relationship with the world. In we fellowship with other believers. We build each other up in the faith. And then we reached out to the world in witnessing and sharing with the world. So, as I said, today we're going to be focusing. So I'll follow the handout here pretty closely, stopping from time to time to get you involved. And since this is being recorded, I'll try to repeat any comments or questions or anything that you have so that those listening will be able to hear them. To say Lord presupposes obedience. It's an understood. When we say Lord, we're saying that we're in obedience to the Lord Himself. The synonyms for Lord, that someone or something having power, authority or influence, a master or ruler. And this familiar verse, of course, Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and what? And do not the things that I say." You're not, why would you call me Lord and not be obedient to me? And we'll be spending quite a bit of time today talking about obedience. I think that's just a fundamental essential to Lordship, to Christ. Someone or something will have control over your life. You can't keep from it. Something is going to be in control of your life. It all depends to whom or what you choose to submit. 2 Peter 2:19, it says, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." Something is going to be in control. What's in control of your life? What have you submitted your life to? In this workshop, we'll focus on the two aspects of the wheel, the hub and the rim. So, the hub. I'm sure that most everyone here has memorized the topical memory system. Am I right? Okay, that's good. I see some heads shaking both ways. Okay. Somebody share with us 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, when you're going to have to speak it.
Who's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone.
So he who is in Christ is a new creation. It's interesting. The old things, I knew this from the original King James. That's a joke. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you all experienced that? being a new creation in Christ. I know for me, I was saved when I was 28 years old. And I was one of these guys. I was a good Southern Baptist. I'd walk the aisle. I was baptized, rededicated twice, and tithed before I truly came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I even tried to witness. I was sharing Christ as best as I knew how. And let me tell you, nothing helps your witnessing like getting saved. You know, I became a far more effective witness after the Holy Spirit was living within me and giving me a message truly to share with people. But a new creation, Jesus Christ, changes our life from the inside out. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. Galatians 2:20, how does it go?
Crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself.
Absolutely. I am crucified. Are you crucified? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives, or liveth, in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, this is going to be fun today as we talk about these things. Just as the hub is the source of power and energy in a wheel, Jesus Christ is the source of power and energy in the life of a believer. To accomplish his work in the world, Jesus Christ must be recognized and submitted to as Lord of all. And I think it's good to, I think it was Stephen Covey and his 7 habits of highly effective people. One of those habits was starting with the end in mind. To start with the end, well, let's just start with the end in mind here. Let me look at Revelation. You don't need to look this up unless you want to, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. Revelation 19:11-16. John says, I saw heaven opened, standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God on Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Lord. Boy, you can believe that. You know, and I think about that even today, as we look at the nations, my goodness, we look at all that's going on in the world, don't fret. Don't worry about that. You remember the prophet Habakkuk was concerned about the world of his day. He was talking to God. Just how can you, don't you see what's going on? And how evil at that particular concern that he had was for Israel. And how they have fallen away. How can you put up with this? And God says, I think it's Habakkuk 1:5. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you wouldn't believe even if you were told. God is working in this world. And he is accomplishing his purposes. If I may, one of my favorite verses is Habakkuk 2:3. And this is from the Living. And this is God speaking again. And he says, slowly, this is God, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. He is in control. You can bet your eternity on that. He is Lord. All we have to do is recognize it and submit to it. John Crawford, I hope you all, I know many of you did know John. He's with the Lord today. But John, and he always had a neat, funny, twisty little way of saying things that would make you stop and think here. He used to say, "We are now living out the life of Jesus Christ. He died that we might live. We die that we might live." Can anyone explain that to us? He died that we might live. We die that we might live. You want to take a stab at that? Yes, sir.
He died for us. Our sins were forgiven. So when we accept him into our life, we're going to go to heaven. So when we die, we're not really dying. We're moving on to have eternity with Christ in heaven. So mm-hmm. We're not dead. We're living.
Okay. Someone else? Yes, sir. John 16:16. Go ahead.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and the life to the fullest, and that's Jesus speaking to us. So, you know, he came and he lived and he died for us so that we might be able to live our lives.
Absolutely.
In his grace.
Absolutely.
Whenever we die, we may go and ascend and live with him.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, sir.
So, he who tries to save his life loses it, but he who loses his life for me shall surely find it.
That's good. That's right. Romans 6:6, I think, says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yes, brother? Speak up now. John 12.
Where does it say that this seed falls in the ground? That is what? If it dies, it
falls. Absolutely. John 12:24, I think. Yeah, that's good. That's right. So when we die, that's when we live. That's when we begin to live. It's not I, he said, but Christ liveth in me. John 13:13, in the New King James, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." You got it. You're right. I'm Lord. So let's talk about the rim now, the obedient part of this illustration. Obedience to Christ. Who knows Romans 12:1? Go ahead.
"Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God."
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, offer ourselves as living sacrifice. I've heard someone say, a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. I mean, this is lay down there, you know, and stay there as a sacrifice. John 14:21. Who knows that one? Yes, sir.
"Is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them."
Absolutely. Again, I knew that in King James. He says, "And I will manifest myself." I always thought about that. He's saying that I will make myself very, very real to the person that obeys me and keeps my commandments. Okay, so the rim represents the Christian responding to Christ's Lordship through wholehearted day-to-day obedience. I have Luke 9:23 in the Phillips. We'll look at that in a minute. Who knows Luke 9:23? Luke 9:23, "Then he spoke to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Did I quote that right? Because I know it in the J.B. Phillips. He says, "Then he spoke to them all, if anyone wants to come after me or follow in my footsteps, he must give up all right to himself, carry his cross every day, and keep close behind me." What would it mean to take up his cross or to carry his cross every day? What does that mean? What do you think that means?
Symbol of death.
It's a symbol of death. That's right. Who is it? Arthur Blessett, the fellow that has carried the cross all over the world, literally. He has been everywhere dragging that cross around, but symbolizing the fact that he's carrying that cross, that symbol of death, and following the Lord. "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Obedience is a willingness to be subject to the will of another. For the Christian, this means being subject to the laws and commands of God. The choice we have is not whether or not we're going to obey someone, but whom are we going to obey? We touched on that earlier. The Bible tells us that in whatever we yield ourselves to, or offer ourselves to, that we are a slave. And let's just talk about that for a minute, as far as getting practical. Let's say that that we're going to give ourselves to something. Let's think of something good, that we're going to yield ourselves to something good. What might be some examples that come to mind?
My work.
About your work?
Taking a job.
And something about how you do your job? Or? Yeah. Okay.
Doing with excellence.
Excellence. Very good. How else could work be done?
Terribly.
That's exactly right. You know, it's your choice. My dad always put it to me whenever I would leave, I was working in the oil fields, he'd say, make him a hand. You know, you can be a hand or you cannot be a hand. You know, and we've all worked with people that apply themselves and those that don't. What other good things? Let's just think about
healthy eating.
Healthy eating versus... That's right. You know, I mean, we can kill ourselves with what we eat. You know, it's like yielding to the things of God. There's some practical things that I'll talk about here when we get to the application part of this. But things that we look at or that we don't look at. There are decisions that we make daily. I'm thinking it's Romans 6:13, I believe it is. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, you know, as those that are alive from the dead. And I'm just thinking about that daily, moment by moment, we're just dealing with these crossroads that come our way, and we can decide to go one way or the other.
Is a slave under an umbrella? Slave is under an umbrella of authority, and then he chooses each day to remain under that umbrella of authority.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Romans 6:6. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Simple obedience to God proves that we believe Him and are willing to act upon what He says. Obedience is active worship of God. In 1 Samuel 15:22-23, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? If I recall this correctly, I think this is when Saul, because he couldn't find a priest handy, he did it himself. He made his own sacrifices, as though it's the actual sacrifice itself that would appease God and get His blessing. But this is what Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. So just the sacrifice in and of itself is not what God is looking for. It's like when we have opportunities for obedience, we have issues that come up day by day. I'm thinking just a simple thing, that when we offer a cup of cold water in the Lord's name, when we help someone, we do whatever, I want to believe that God looks at that and smiles and says, that's worship. That's worship. You're worshiping me.
On the way to church, when we stop and help somebody change the tire, instead of rushing back, going to church.
God says, that's worship. That's worshiping me. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a matter of the heart. Obedience is essential to abiding in Christ. In John 15:10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And we could spend a lot of time talking about this abiding relationship. I've done a little study on this, and this word abiding, it means it's to have a living communion. To have a living communion with Jesus Christ. Just like a vine is entwined about a tree. That's the kind of relationship that we're to have with him. And in that relationship, Jesus says, John 15:4, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you except you abide in me." And he goes on, "You bear much fruit through abiding." He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do what?
Nothing.
For without him we can do nothing." Have you ever experienced trying to bear fruit apart from the Lord? Like I told you, nothing helped my witness in like getting saved. You know, but not, I mean, it's just, it's that matter of fruit happens when we're not even aware of it. Things, and I, in fact, to drive this home, and I just ran across this. This is two different places in My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. But I'd like to dwell just a little bit on the way that the Lord led him, I believe, to put these comments together. But listen, "And yet, Almighty God is ours in Jesus Christ. And he will reach to the last grain of sand and to the remotest star to bless us if we will only obey him." God wants our obedience. And here's the result of it, is in this next statement. And it's just, I've been pondering this now for about a year or so. "As soon as I obey, I fulfill my spiritual destiny." When I obey Jesus Christ in the seemingly random circumstances of life, they become pinholes through which I see the face of Christ. It's amazing. When I stand face to face with God, I will discover that through my obedience, thousands were blessed. Does that grab you the way it does me? Think about that. It's when we're obedient to Him that His work is accomplished. Man. And if any of you, this message may end up with this workshop on Discipleship Library. And if you look on Discipleship Library and you look up my name, you might see it 15, 20, 30 times. I don't know. But if you hear one, you've heard them all. Just the same old thing. So, because what I'm about to say, I can't keep away from this abiding in Christ. This abiding relationship. And a statement that I heard a gentleman say, 35 years ago, longer than that, closer to 40. "Everything God requires, He provides." That it just blows my mind. But how does He provide it? When we're obedient. When we yield ourselves to Him. You know, it's like there are people, even at this conference right now, that God has used them in ways in my life they'll never know about. Just by some little offhanded comment that they made. Watching them, how they served or how they did. Just the most insignificant things. But they had enormous impact on me. And I believe they were being obedient. And the Lord was ministering through them to me. I mean, he's just doing things that we can't even comprehend. Everything God requires, he provides. He requires righteousness. Anybody in here righteous apart from Jesus Christ? He requires holiness. You know, that's provided in Christ. He wants my wife to be married to Jesus Christ. And, you know, when I am yielded to the Lord, I'm the very man that God wanted her to have. You know, and she to me when she's yielded to the Lord. My goodness. Everything God requires, he provides. This conference is on discipleship. We're told to go to the world and make disciples. And I am so thankful for the last part of that commission. Jesus says, oh, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. Jesus Christ is the disciple maker. But he uses disciples to make disciples. It's incredible. And I'm not over it yet. When we are obedient, his grace is free to work in and through our lives in order to accomplish his purposes. As we saw in John 15:5, John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. And then we are transformed into the image of Christ. Anyone know 2 Corinthians 3:18? 2 Corinthians, Jeep.
And all of us, as the Word of God, as a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. From one degree of glory to another, this comes from the Lord's Spirit.
All right. We are being constantly transformed into the image of Christ. From one degree of glory to another. There's a word in there that it's also used in Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that from one degree to another of transformation, that being transformed in Romans 12:2, that's the word that I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, but of metamorphosis. That's how a tadpole changes into a frog. It's how a lump of coal is changed into a diamond. It's how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's through a metamorphosis. And that's how God works in us, in changing us into the image of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle. And that can only happen when we're obedient. When we, the rim, are responding to the hub of the wheel. So let's look here at a few moments that we have remaining at some application. The first commandment says that you shall have no other gods before me. In Exodus 20:3. Evaluate your life in light of, you know, 1 John 2:15-16. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world out there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, this is something that you need to sit down alone with the Lord and contemplate and work through on your own. But how do you measure up right now? Is there anything in your life regarding the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life that might be standing between you and the Lord? If there is, that's an issue of obedience. And I'll submit that this is something that you need to deal with. You know, or the Lord, it just kind of put things on hold until we get that taken care of, and then we can move on. So, that's something that you'll need to work through with the Lord. If I were to just take this bag right now and I would just say, everyone, and I start going around, would you put your car keys? Give me all your keys. Everybody just give me your keys. You know, would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
You'd, why would you do it?
Give my car keys to you?
Yeah.
Because I trust you.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of you, who wouldn't? You wouldn't do it?
Can I, only if I get to trade my car keys for
one? Yeah, that's it. You might not get a good deal. Yeah. That's kind of what F.B. Mayer, Dr. Mayer, notice what he says here. He came to a critical or crucial transition time in his ministry. He sat dejectedly in his study. My ministry is unfruitful and I lack spiritual power, he said to himself. Suddenly Christ seemed to stand beside him. Let me have the keys to your life, Christ said. The experience was so realistic that he reached into his pocket and took out a bunch of keys. Are all the keys there? Yes, Lord, all except the key to one small room in my life. Christ said, if you cannot trust me in all rooms of your life, I cannot accept any of the keys. Dr. Mayer was so overwhelmed with the feeling that Christ was moving out of his life because he was excluding him from one interest in his life, that he cried out, come back, Lord, and take the keys to all the rooms of my life. I'm sure maybe some of you have seen the little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home. Same basic notion. Does the Lord have all the keys in your life? And notice what he says here, that the Lord, kind of, he just withdrew. I think sometimes the Lord lets us soak. Just we back off, we withdraw. We've got some issue that we're holding back from him. And he just lets us soak. Have you ever experienced that?
Amen.
Yeah, you know. But then all of a sudden, I think, in fact, of the like the prodigal son. When, and I just love the way the King James puts this in Luke 15. It says, you know, here he is in the slop, the pig pen, eating the pig food, the husks, you know, that the pigs were eating. And I love the way it puts it. It says, and when he came to himself. Have you ever had that experience? Boy, I have. And when he came to himself, it's kind of like slap, slap. What am I doing? How did I get so far away? I don't have to live like this. You know, and he got up and he went home and his father saw him at a great way off and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Boy, that's who we're dealing with here. He so desperately wants us, and the very best thing we can do is turn to him and come to him. Ask the Lord, is there anything in your life that is preventing you or preventing him from being Lord of your life? In Psalm 139, 23, 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I would challenge you to consider that. Ask him, Lord, you know my heart. I believe he knows my heart so much better than I do. I just memorized this Proverbs 20:6. It says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Most men, you know, if you ask me to evaluate myself, I'd say I'm pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I've memorized a couple of verses. And I read the Bible occasionally. And, you know, I don't lie, cheat, steal. Don't run around with pimp folks that do. All that sort of stuff. Baloney. By God's standard, search me, Lord. May not be quite what I think I am. As used in the Bible, believe is defined as conviction based on testimony that something is true or that someone is reliable. as used in the Bible, to believe in God involves the element of trust, not mere acknowledgement of His existence. You know, this was, and for me, a hang-up that I had for years. I thought that to believe in Jesus Christ meant to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, if you just acknowledge that, and that's the witnessing story, that's what I, being a good Southern Baptist, and this is if you believe. And I remember one night witnessing to a man in the bar at the Petroleum Club in Wichita, Kansas. And he said, John, that's well and good, but if I really believed in Christ, I couldn't do some of the things we're doing. You know, I was as phony as a $3 bill. And the Lord showed me that indeed I was. And I came to find out that believe means, it's like in the Amplified Bible. I notice every time that it says believe, they'll have in parentheses, adhere to, depend on, trust in, rely upon. Trust Him. Trust Him. Do you trust Him? Can you trust Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? If not, what else would Jesus have to do to earn your trust and full commitment to Him? Have you ever been through this struggle? Well, I have. You know, it's like you hear people, they talk about, boy, well, if I really, really commit my life to Christ, and I know we have some folks from Africa here. Well, the fear used to be, well, God will send me to Africa, you know, or whatever. You know what? I have never met a missionary in Africa that wouldn't rather be there than any place in the world because God gave them the desire of their hearts. Psalm 37, 4 and 5, he says, if we delight in Him, He'll give us the desire of our hearts. You know, delighting in Him. Can you trust Him? At a time when I was going through this on a particular decision, I don't remember what it was now, but something that the Lord wanted me to turn over to Him. And I just could hear Jesus in effect in my spirit saying, you know, here He is, naked on a cross, beaten, shamed, crown of thorns, all the rest. And he'd look at me and he'd say, what more can I give? I'm giving it all. Whew. Trust me. Think of Jesus on the cross asking you that. What more could I give? We should forsake anything that hinders His working through us. Jim Elliot made the comment that He is no fool who gives what He cannot keep for that which He cannot lose. Man, this is easy. Finally, just an afterthought that I had here, but I believe this is true, that obedience requires discipline. It requires discipline. And I knew there was... I could not express this the way that I knew it to be true. A spiritual truth, but I just couldn't find the words for it. And one day, I was in my car listening to Christian radio, and I heard this J. Allen Peterson was on the radio. And this is what he said. He said, you don't feel yourself into a new way of acting. We act ourselves into a new way of feeling. Does that make sense to you? It's not, in one sense, I think, well, that sounds kind of phony. If I'm acting like something that I'm not. Well, I mean, if we're trying to act like, in a hypocritical sense, and the intent is to deceive, that's one thing. But I thought about it in regard to, okay, let's say that I am told in Scripture to love my wife. Husbands, love your wives, the Bible says. Well, now, do I sit around and keep waiting until I feel like I work up a love toward her? It doesn't work that way. If you do, you're going to be waiting a long time in some cases. It's love is action. It's a verb. I act like I serve her. I do whatever. And you know, the feeling is right behind it. I'm told to study my Bible. And I tell you, sometimes I'm sitting around here and I just can't get started. Like they say, the first step, first thing you do is sit down to that desk and put that chain around your leg and lock it and get started. And then it's just, you can't stop. And the same thing is true in other disciplines of the Christian life. That's obedience. Doing it by faith, submitting, and the feeling will come. Anybody have any comments? Anything to add to what we have here? Anything? We covered it all? All right. Well, let's close in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to discuss this important subject. Lord, we want you, indeed, to be the Lord of our lives. Help us, Father, to evaluate ourselves honestly before you, that if there's anything, God, that stands in our way, may we deal with it, confess it, forsake it, and move on. Lord, we love you, and we're grateful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
Copyright by the Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.